here. We are, we do have a display at the back there. Please take what you'd like. If you think that it should be taken, take it. If you don't think it should be taken, leave it on the table. If you would like to receive our bi-monthly updates, please feel free to sign up, sign your name and your email address. Please make it legible so we make sure that you can get our updates if you would like that. So please make yourself available to what is there. We are here to answer your questions. If you have any queries, any questions about the mission, any questions about Romania, we'll be glad to talk to you about that, of how you could better understand the situation that we're in and how to pray for us. So we're thankful for that. One of the things that I do enjoy is studying the Word of God. It is an opportunity to be able to have the Lord speak to me in a very personal way. The message that we'll be dealing with today is from Ephesians chapter 4. It is a passage from a book that is very dear to me. And as I studied this passage and as I prepared this message, the Lord was stepping on my toes, making me feel kind of uncomfortable because of my life, the way I was living my life. So if you have the idea that your toes are being stepped on, it's not my problem. If the Lord is speaking to you, then he is speaking to you. I am just the one bringing this message of what he has done in my life and what it means for our lives in general. We are guilty of what I'm going to speak about. There are many of us who have problems, interpersonal relationship problems with others. It happens to all of us. It happens to us when we have colleagues, national partners, who don't really have the idea of what teamwork is all about. They think teamwork is, I make all the decisions and you carry it out. The problem is when that person is responsible for different ministries and he doesn't have the time to deal with all the issues that come up, with all the decisions that need to be made, and he becomes a bottleneck. So his philosophy of ministry is quite different from my philosophy of ministry and Mary Lou's, where we invest in others to help build them up so they can be themselves leaders in the ministry God has called them to do, wherever that is, whatever shape that has, they can do it. So we empower them, we let them go. And this conflict with others who don't have the same kind of philosophy of ministry that we have doesn't always go well with my attitude towards my brother in Christ. Maybe on a more personal note for all of us, it could be involved in that relationship that you have with the driver in front of you. You know what it's like. You're in a hurry, you want to get somewhere, and there's that person who is inevitably in front of you, if the whole city isn't in front of you when you're in a hurry, and they're getting on your nerves because, come on, I'm trying to get going here. We want this person to hurry. Why? Because I need to get somewhere. And who's hindering me from getting where I need to go except that person in front of me? And what is my attitude towards that human being that is made in the image of God? My attitude is not that great at times. The things I think about that person is not something that shows respect for him or her as a fellow human being. So how do we deal with these people around us who are imperfect? That is the main idea of what we're going to be talking about today. Those people who are like maybe our spouse, or the member of our family, who we have told them repeatedly that what they do in that certain situation is irritating. They shouldn't be doing that. Yet, invariably, when they show up again and the same thing happens, what is our response to them at that particular time? Especially for our family, who we think should get it, should have learned by now, they should be better. What is our attitude towards them? How do we treat them? Well, we get irritated. We get harsh with them. We say things that later we regret that we have said, although it's true, and they needed to hear it. But really? How are we to treat them? How are we to get along with them? How are we to treat those people who don't have the same perspective, don't have the same views that we have? And there are many. Just think back to the recent conflict that you've had with somebody in the last couple of days. I have been tested on this whole thing many times. And do you ever notice that the Lord really doesn't test you and warn you before the test? Like, Mike, there's a pop quiz coming up here. Get ready. No. These imperfect people do their imperfect thing that irritate me. And this passage is put to the test in my life. So Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, Therefore, from all that I've said, all the doctrine and all the truths that he has affirmed in the first three chapters, he wants to introduce how we are to live out these truths in our lives, in our relationships with one another. So he says, therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Just three verses, but they stopped me dead in my tracks. And the Lord really showed me, I am an imperfect person living with imperfect people, and I need to practice these three verses in my life, which I'm going to show to you, and hopefully you'll be able to learn from my mistakes. Hopefully you'll be able to enter into this and be able to grow as I am in my faith in the Lord Jesus. So the issue is God's answer on how to put up with imperfect people. That is the key issue that Paul is dealing with here, and that has stuck with me. As we go on to the next slide, verse 1, therefore I, a prisoner in the Lord, urge you to live worthy of the calling you have received. This word worthy that we see here has the idea of a balance. We are to live a life that is balanced. We're to have integrity. So the things that we say and the things that we do are in accord. They're the same. There's no difference. So that we're not saying one thing and then doing another. We see that idea of balance in this image here. And it is one that is important for us, because if that balance is not kept, if we, as in the next part of the slide, shows that if we emphasize doctrine, truth, to an extreme, that creates something within us. We begin to judge other people because they have not measured up to the standard of truth that we've said. So if we overemphasize doctrine, and I'm all for doctrine, trust me. But if I overemphasize that, over lifestyle, how I put that into practice, in my relationship with others, this is what happens. If we emphasize truth too much, we end up with, over love, we end up with legalism. We become legalistic. Because someone has not lived up to my list or our list, and they haven't checked off every single point, oh, we can't accept you. You're not one of us. No. We become legalistic, following rules instead of loving other people, having a balance in our lives. But on the other hand, if we overemphasize love, the way that we live in our relationship with others is more important than truth, it's okay. You know, I love you, and I really don't want to say these things that are going to correct you because I'm afraid it might hurt my relationship with you. Well, the result of that is libertinism. They can do whatever they want. We can do whatever we want. There is no structure. There are no rules. And that, according to the Bible, is wrong. Paul clearly talks against both legalism and libertinism. There needs to be a balance in our lives. So Paul is really helping us know, how do we put into practice the doctrine that we know in our daily lives? What does that look like? How are we to deal with the people that are around us that are clearly imperfect? Isn't that right? As we look around, people are imperfect. And they prove it every day. And somehow that surprises us. Yeah. So Paul tells us the first thing in living this life of balance, of integrity, in verse 2 he says, with all humility. That's the first key ingredient of being able to live our lives in a worthy manner before the Lord. We're to have humility. That's how we live this life, with humility. Humility means not thinking of yourself as more important than others. We have that tendency within us to think that we are more important, that my agenda, my goals are more important than other people's. That person in the car in front of us, they don't matter. Like, get out of the way so I can. That's not humility. That's egoism. That's being selfish. That's being proud. So what happens as we think about this scenario of us thinking that other people are below us and not having humility? How does that look in a person's life? Well, I'm sure we have a lot of examples that are going through our minds right now, like I have a number of people and their names going through my mind right now. Those people who are arrogant. Those people who are egotistical, who are proud, arrogant. We all know people who are like that, who think that others should be doing things as they do them. Because after all, who is as good as they are? How does that sit with you? Probably sits the same way as it sits with me. Not very well. I don't like being around those kinds of people. And I imagine you don't either. They're the kind of people that kind of push you away with their attitudes and the way they respond to you. Those people who always know better, always are commenting on what you do and how you do what you do. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah, I know those kind of people. And they drive me crazy. So this is why Paul is helping us understand, how do we respond to these kind of people? How do we relate to them? And he says, with all humility. Yes. You know, it's kind of like the example of the Olympic Games, which we just saw. You know, those people who sit in front of the TV and they're watching their team, they're watching these Canadians perform, and they jump up and they yell and they tell them how they should be running harder, they should be doing better. No, do it that. No, you know. All the while, potato chip crumbs are falling off of their shirt as they're telling these professional athletes what to do and how to do it. Have I ever? Yes, I have done that. I'm not a professional athlete. Never was. So who am I to tell them how to do their job? What's that make me? Humility. Thinking of others as more important than me. It's really hard to pick a fight with somebody who you esteem, someone who you think is more important than you are, somebody who has more value than you do. Very hard. That's the attitude we are to have, is to be humble. But when somebody does something that falls short of our expectations of what we think is right, if we have those people that do things that they do them in a way that we would never do that, how do we respond to them? Well, this is what Paul's trying to get to us, that we usually use ourselves as the standard. Because somebody else isn't doing what I would do or what I need them to do in the timing I need them to do it, what is my response to them? Well, we see the response to them in a very open and you can't misinterpret how they respond, like in frustration, even in anger. Why do you keep doing that? You know? Or another manifestation may be nagging. Continuing to remind the person that that's not the way they're supposed to do it, and you know how you respond to nagging. Not so good. That provokes the other person. And that's where the fight starts. Lack of humility. Lack of thinking of the other person as more important than you. When we think we are the standard, and we know what needs to be done, and how it is to be done, we're on dangerous ground. Because we have become the standard. God is no longer the standard. We have become the standard. I have become the standard. Because I know better. I know what to do. I know what needs to be done. I know how to do it better. I'm like, that hasn't come through my mouth at all. So it's difficult. It's hard admitting that many times our sinful nature provokes us to become the standard, thinking that we're better than we really are, making ourselves the standard by which everyone else is to measure themselves. Yeah. One of the things that I've found is important in my response to other people with regards to humility and how things are done and the way that they're done, especially when it's not the way I would have done it or I wouldn't have said that, is to ask myself one question. Is it sin? How they're doing what they're doing, is it wrong? Is it morally incorrect? Are they going to be condemned? Are they going to be in trouble with God because of the way they've done what they've done? What they said, is it against what God has said is good and right and just? Many times, I don't know about you, but many times I ask myself that question. Well, of course, he's done. Well, what's the verse? What does God say? Well, you know, but yeah. You ever feel that way? Maybe I'm the only person here. I don't know. But this is what the Lord has revealed to me about me being an imperfect person. I have become the standard. That's hard to admit, but it's true. And I need to get out of the way. I need to be putting other people before me. I need other people to be esteemed in my estimation. Humility means that we are to consider other people more important. We are no longer the judge and jury and executioner. God is. So if what they're doing is not a sin, black and white, then back off. That's what I've learned. Back off. Because it's not going to end well. I can give you way too many examples of how I've done that. Yes. So if we honor other people and esteem them, it's really hard to get into an argument with them. It's really hard to disrespect them with our attitude and our words. So this is the first step, the first key in living a balanced life in which what we say and what we do are equal. We haven't become hypocrites, but truthful in who we are, in what we do, and how we relate with others. So the second step here in verse 2, it says, with all humility and gentleness. Gentleness does not mean responding harshly to people, letting them have it with your words because you don't like what they've said or what they've done to you. It doesn't mean ripping a strip off them with our words. No. Being gentle means treating others with respect in a polite way, tenderly. Tenderly. Not harshly, tenderly. And with patience and understanding. Those go a long way. So being a person who is gentle means that we are to treat others with patience, understanding that they're imperfect, and understanding, because I'm one of those imperfect people, and they're going to be doing the same thing to me. So if we're honest with ourselves, we need to be a little more gentle with other people. But it's hard. As we think of our family members, as I mentioned before, we've talked to them about their weaknesses, and yet for some reason, we expect them to become perfect when they're not. And neither, why is that? Well, the only reason I can come up with is because I'm the standard. I'm perfect. I'm the one everyone should be like. Okay, well, there's a problem here. And the problem is me. Yeah, thanks, Lord. I've been rebuked. a gentle person does not force his will upon another. Does not force another person to do what is against his or her will. A gentle person is understanding. Is accepting. Not accepting the sin, but accepting the other person. He does not humiliate others or think that he's superior to them. That is a gentle person. I think we're getting the idea, or I got the idea, of why there's so many interpersonal relationship problems between me and other people. And the problem lies with me. I'm the standard. I'm the one that everyone else must measure up to. And that is wrong. That is wrong. That is a sin. But we keep doing it. I keep doing it. Why? Well, if God is not in control of my life, then that's my default. That is what I'm going to continue to go back to. And that is why relationships still are a problem and a struggle. It's because of me. I'm not perfect. Neither are they. Once we get that understanding, things go a lot better. As I mentioned, we're to be humble. Think of them more important. We're to be gentle. We're to work with them with patience and understanding. You know what? We all have bad days. And because someone is venting their frustration out on me doesn't give me the right to lash back at them. Although I really want to. No, can't do that. To be understanding. Everyone has a bad day. Receive it, understand it, treat them with respect and patience. Haven't perfected that one yet. Maybe you have. We're all on the course of sanctification. We're not there yet. I'm not there yet. And my guess is, neither are you. But that's okay. God still loves us, and he accepts us the way we are. His grace is greater. Amen? Amen. I'm glad three people are convinced. We have to remember that not to use ourselves as the standard. This is our standard. It's God's standard. And none of us are going to measure up to it. Practically. We are one in Christ. We are perfect in God's sight because we are in Christ. That is our position. I can't come up with another English word with that, but that is our position in Christ. So God sees us as perfect. But practically, day to day, moment by moment, yeah, we need some work. That is for sure. So Paul tells us that we are to live this balanced life so that we can have unity with one another, as he mentions a little later, with all humility and gentleness. This is how we're to relate to one another with that big word that starts with P that I have learned you never pray for. Patience. Don't do that. Don't go there. I've learned. If you pray for patience, you're going to get tested on that. So I don't pray for patience anymore. But for some reason, I continue to get tested in that area. It's, yes, I'm not perfect. If I am not perfect, why do I expect other people to be perfect? Because they're just like me, fallen human beings. Why do I expect my other church members to be perfect? Because they're just like me, imperfect people, redeemed, cleansed, saved by the blood of Christ. Why do we expect something different from them than what they really are? They're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. So we need to have patience. Patience means putting up with others when they're difficult to live with. Putting up with others without losing it, without getting all mad and wanting to measure their neck size, because they keep doing that. Put up with it. Be patient with it. Bear it, as he says a little later. Because they're not perfect. So we need to do that. We need to be putting up with them. A lot of us don't have the patience thing down. Why does he keep doing that? I've told him a million times he's not supposed to do that, but what does he do? He does that. Yeah, so we all struggle with it. We all need patience. We all need to extend patience to others so that we can live a balanced life, the kind of life that Jesus lived. He didn't lose it on people because they were imperfect. He was patient and understanding. And we need to be the same ourselves. Thing I've noticed about Paul as he's gone through many trials and as I've read about his history and what he's teaching us, what God is teaching us through him, that he knew the standard of what it was to honor God. And he explains that to us clearly. He explains to us what is God's standard. He understood what God expected from him. God did not expect perfection. Even though we put Paul up on a pedestal, he was not perfect. We need to be patient. We understand what God has for us. And we have to understand that we're not always going to attain that standard. But the Apostle Paul was dependent upon God. He was dependent upon his strength to help him. And we'll talk about that a little later. So how do we not lose our temper with others, especially when we have a bad day? How do we live out our faith in such a way that other people can see Jesus in us? Good question. Well, the next verse kind of helps us with that, putting it to a passage. Well, verse 2. Bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. This bearing means to carry a burden, to carry the hardship that it is in your relationship with that other person when you really want to tell them what you think, but you know that is not going to honor the Lord, so you bear it. You carry the load in love. In love. God loves them. God loves you. You need to show that same love towards them. So you bear that burden and you continue on to live the way you're supposed to live. Respond the way you're supposed to respond to these other people. To suffer through when that person is really annoying you. And you think you're justified in ripping a strip off them with your words. Ever been there? Yes. Yeah, it's not easy. So how do we bear with one another? Well, we're to ask and depend upon God for 10 seconds. That's the key, folks. 10 seconds. That is what we ask for. That is what we pray for. God, give me 10 seconds. Help me in these next 10 seconds to respond in a way that honors you. And as we go through those 10 seconds, Lord, that was kind of short. I need another 10 seconds. I want to honor you. I want to do what is right in your sight. Help me with your power and your strength to respond to the situation in a way that honors you. Okay, Lord, I need another 10 seconds. That is a walk of dependence. It is not a prayer once, Lord, help me with this person because I'm about to lose it. And then go on in your own strength. No, that is not what Paul did. He was dependent upon God moment by moment to give him the strength and the help to represent him. That is what we are to do. We're to ask God for 10 seconds. And let me tell you, those 10 seconds go by really quick. And so as you walk, you're depending upon God. Lord, help me with these next 10 seconds because I want to do what's right before you and I want to be a good testimony. Help me. Lord, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Help me. I need you. Lord, yes, thank you for your help. I still need it. It is that dependence, that relationship, that continual asking, Lord, guide me, help me. You be the one to help me through this situation. Not from it, not around it, to escape it. No, to go through it. And He will. To bear, to carry the burden, the stress of that situation with God, not without Him. And he says, verse 3, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's our goal. Make every effort to go towards. That is our main goal and objective, is the idea here to keep the unity of the faith. How do we do that? By living a balanced life between what we say we believe and actually living it out. Being humble, thinking that others are more important, treating others tenderly, being patient with them, bearing their weaknesses and their imperfections for the long term. That creates unity amongst us, amongst everyone else. How is God going to teach this to a world if He doesn't teach it to us first? We're not going to go out of here today knowing that I've got this nailed. I know what to do. Trust me. You're going to get a pop quiz, and it might not be so pretty. The results might not be the ones that you want. So Paul's focus was on maintaining unity with others, having that balanced life, being a good testimony before others, making sure that he was living a humble life, being gentle with those who are around him, putting up with the imperfections of others, bearing the burden, the stress of those imperfections in love, so that he could continue on to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Giving this to God so that we may experience His peace. He's the only one that can carry the burden and help us make it through. So, on the last slide, it says, God's answer on how to put up with imperfect people. Well, first one, no one's perfect. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Especially when it's about me. We're not the standard. God is. I haven't reached that yet, and not going to. Esteem others as more important than ourselves. They are more important. I am to serve them. I am to help them. I am not to criticize them or judge them, and to help them, others. I am to be polite and respectful of other people. Wow, that speaks volumes to me. Yes, to be polite and respectful of others when they're not doing what you want them to do or how you want them to do it. Yes. Putting up with the weaknesses and imperfections of others. Carry that burden. But we don't carry that burden alone. We have to carry it with God. He's the one who helps us. He's the one that helps us carry that burden through that situation. And at the other end, we will have grown through that situation. We have grown in our maturity and closer to God, because He wants us to be dependent upon Him. That's the key. How do we put up with the imperfect people who are around us? We are to depend, bottom line, on God. We need Him. We need His wisdom. We need His strength. We need His help. Because we can't do it ourselves. We've proven that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are convicted before You. Lord, I ask You for forgiveness. for the all too many times when I think I am the standard by which others should measure themselves. I am far too often guilty of being egotistical, selfish, unruly. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I do thank you so much for this word that helps me to renew my perspective, to be rebuked, to be encouraged to do what you want me to do, to be the kind of person you want me to be. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here, Lord, that you will be their help, that you will be their help through the next 10 seconds. Lord, I do thank you for them. I do thank you for their encouragement. I do thank you for the blessing that it is to be brothers and sisters with them, because we have been redeemed. We have been washed in the blood. And Lord, we have all of eternity to spend with you. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to live out these principles that you've lined out for us, so that we may show you to the world around us, that you would be able to draw other people to yourself, and that you would receive the glory. For I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.